be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When I was a kid, one of my favorite questions was, why? I'm sure I drove my parents crazy with wanting to know why everything. For the most part, they were very patient with my curiosity. Sometimes it's like that with God and us. Sometimes I think we ask why too much. That being said, we also need to balance blind faith with our God-given brain and our desire to understand. The question of suffering is like that. We can go in circles wanting to know why suffering exists and why Jesus had to suffer. One of the theories of atonement, penal substitutionary atonement, theorizes that sin is a crime against God, and somebody had to pay the penalty for the crime. Jesus' suffering on the cross was the punishment for sin that Jesus bore for us. There are plenty of scriptural proof texts that can support this theory. But to subscribe to this theory alone has been described by some theologians as believing in a God who perpetuates divine child abuse. To ask the annoying question my child self would ask, why does an all-powerful God who makes the rules make a rule that requires his son to die? Why wouldn't God, who is love, find a less violent way to save the world? Whenever we question God's motives, we are on shaky ground. All we can say is that we do our best to understand who God is and why God does things by looking at how God has revealed God's self to us in the scriptures. The two scriptures that are today's sermon text are glimpses into God and suffering. The first scripture is known as the Third Servant Song and gives us a picture of the suffering servant. The second scripture is sometimes called the Kenosis Hymn. The word kenosis is Greek for emptying, which can be translated as a form of loss or suffering. Looking first at the Third Servant Song, we should remember that the Christian church has read into this Old Testament scripture a description of Jesus Christ. There is no question that the analogy is good, but it is an analogy. In other words, the writer of the servant song did not have Jesus in mind when he wrote it. The Holy Spirit, who inspired the writer, certainly may have had Jesus in mind, but the Old Testament writer was speaking to the children of Israel in exile in Babylon and was reassuring them that God was with them even in their suffering. We can take comfort in the same message. Jesus, our suffering servant, demonstrated that God is with us in our suffering. Why doesn't God just eliminate suffering? Well, God will eliminate suffering ultimately. But in the meantime, I don't know. What I do know is that Jesus, who is God, chose to be with us in our suffering. This picture of a suffering servant looks like Jesus during Holy Week. This suffering servant sounds like Jesus who is ridiculed as he faces Herod, Pilate, and the high priests and their guards. The suffering servant says, I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. When we read in the Gospels that Jesus was flogged, meaning his back was whipped, we read that Jesus was spit upon. We read that he was struck in the face. Yes, this picture of a suffering servant looks very familiar. This servant begins by saying he is a teacher, like Jesus is a teacher. This servant, who says he has given a word to sustain the weary, sounds like our Lord, who is the Word who sustains the weary. One thing we're taught in pastoral care classes in seminary is that the greatest comfort to those who are suffering is presence. That is, the greatest comfort is to be there. The suffering servant is present. The suffering servant suffers with us. The message is not that we should seek suffering. The message is that God is with us when we suffer and will be there after the suffering ends. And it will end. Note that the servant does not want to suffer. The servant does not seek to suffer. The servant does not inflict suffering. The servant accepts suffering without reprisal. With this acceptance, the suffering is not magnified or passed on. This is the redemptive aspect of suffering. If the suffering was reciprocated, it would be called violence, which is not redemptive. Theologians call this the myth of redemptive violence. Violence is not redemptive, but suffering can be. Now turning to Philippians, Paul tells us in what I called earlier the kenosis hymn, how Jesus chose suffering in order to redeem us. Jesus, who is God, chose not to assert his power, but chose to empty himself. Jesus, who could have come in violence and power, chose not to assert violence and power. Today is Palm Sunday. It's interesting to note that the event we commemorate on Palm Sunday, Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, kings would ride into town in one of two ways, either on a war horse displaying power or on a donkey displaying the fact that they are coming in peace. The Romans rode through the streets on horses, discouraging rebellion in a show of force and a threat of violence. Yes, Jesus was coming as our Lord and King, but he was coming in peace. Jesus was coming with the knowledge that he was accepting suffering non-violently. Paul says it this way. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. It's highly ironic that the church turned the cross into a violent symbol. For the first 300 years of Christianity, believers accepted suffering, and the church spread across the world. However, in the 4th century, Constantine had a vision that he said told him to conquer under the sign of the cross. Constantine then emblazoned the cross on his shield and the shield of his soldiers and made Christianity the religion of the empire. Somehow, Christianity moved from being a religion that accepted suffering and denied violence to one that empowered conquering armies. I must admit, one of my favorite hymns growing up in the church was Onward, Christian Soldiers. The hymn says, "Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banners go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before." This hymn is not in the Glory to God hymnal. While it's still a rousing hymn, its message paints Jesus as a warlike conqueror. Not at all the message Jesus sends on Palm Sunday. Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey, not on a war horse. Jesus rides into Jerusalem ready to suffer, not ready to do violence. While it is clear that Jesus was willing to suffer for us, and that Jesus tells us to be willing to take up our cross and follow him, it is also clear that God does not desire for us to suffer. God's ultimate will is to redeem us and call us God's own. We should be willing to suffer rather than do violence, but God did not create us to suffer. Unfortunately, willingness to suffer has been perverted into accepting abuse. The primary driver in those who accept abuse is a message that they're not good enough to have a non-abusive relationship. This attitude is sinful. That is, God has created everyone good enough to live in relationship with God. Anyone who accepts a message of not being good enough is sinning, as surely as someone who thinks they're better than everyone else. One is the sin of pride. The other is the sin of self-deprecation or self-abnegation. To say it more simply, to undervalue oneself is as bad as overvaluing oneself. God created you, and God loves you. The final word in the passage from Philippians and the final word in the servant song is that God ultimately delivers us from suffering and into glorious relationship with God. That deliverance is God's promise and our hope. As we walk with Jesus toward the cross, let us follow Jesus' example of nonviolent suffering service in order that all might know the love of God. Amen.